B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning. Welcome in 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifschitz. People call us the Bankroll Boys. We have t-shirts. You can go on our website, 98.5thesportshub.com/resident local. And get yourself a t-shirt. I know Dan has yet to get his. I will send you a promo code, Dan.
Oh, nice.
So I can get you. I was offered a promo code this week.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because, you know, we have to buy our own shirts. But that's, you know what? That's all right. You know, maybe one day they'll slide one under our Christmas stocking. Who knows? Dan is at parts unknown. Dan, I wish we could bet on the weather. I know at some places you can, actually, right?
I mean, you used to be able to on the local books, like while the quarantine was going on. Unfortunately, that market has died down fairly quick.
Yeah, and I know during the pandemic, people were doing it on the regular there.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just curious what it's like on the far south shore today. That is south of the Boston area. And I am hoping for weather over under 67 degrees over the next 2 days. I'm going for the over on that one. I don't know how if you would bet that or not.
Next 2 days, I think it's going to be close. I'd say likely probably under. Probably under. But I think that at least I think tomorrow night will be nice, which is a good thing. And I think Monday will be nice. And, you know, you'll still be able to get most of your holiday weekend in if you're down here.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a Bankroll Boys takeover south of Boston this week on the Cape and the Islands, as we like to call it here locally. So, Dan, I watched a Red Sox game last night. Almost the whole thing. It went 10 innings. Kiki Hernandez got the game winner.
Also threw out the runner at home on a beautiful laser. That was a laser, man.
Beautiful throw from the outfield. Red Sox win, and they've won 8 in a row now. And these odds, I'll see what they are today, but I think that we should start. I guess the question is the value gone on betting the Red Sox to win the East at this point?
Oh, to win the East. I mean, just looking at the World Series odds, Joe, they're 16 to 1 right now to win the World Series. Considering where they opened, which was somewhere around 45 to 50 to 1, depending on the book, the value shot there. So I don't even have the updated American East odds. Do you happen to have those?
I'll pull it up on DraftKings right now and see what they got.
Okay. Well, look, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, right? Where the Red Sox were plus 350-ish to win the division, despite the fact that the Yankees were down deep in third. And the Sox were, a couple, maybe a game or so behind the Rays and were plus 350 to win the division. The Yankees were still favored a couple weeks ago, which is asinine that was the price and that it was being priced like that. I know the division opened 20 to 1, but, and by the way, I'm seeing the Red Sox minus 110 right now to win the American League East, and the Rays at plus 220, the Jays at plus 500, and the Yankees at 7-1. So, I mean, oddsmakers not exactly giving the Yankees, good odds to come back and win this thing. And I guess they think the Rays are going to hang around. 2-1 odds, not the worst in the world. I just think that if you're chasing the Red Sox at minus 110, they are still competing with Tampa. The deadline is yet to come. We don't really know what the deal with Glasnow is. The Red Sox are getting Chris Sale back. Just breaking it down, if the Red Sox treat Chris Sale as their deadline acquisition, then I don't love their chances. I think Tampa is probably going to be somewhat aggressive, knowing that Glasnow is potentially out for the season, depending on how rehab goes with his UCL. they obviously are going to need another starter to slot in there. Losing their best starter, that's going to happen. And I still think they need another bat in that lineup. So I would not be, you know, wouldn't be shocked if Tampa, who has just a mound of prospects every year in and out, you know, ends up kind of, you know, doing whatever they need to do to work their magic at the deadline. Plus, they still have Luis Patino as well, who they can call up, you know, who's in that AAA squad. And honestly is a elite level pitcher who is probably ready, you know, probably ready for the majors. And I believe that they, you know, they've kind of, they just optioned him back, but you know, they're moving him up and down now. And I think soon enough, he's going to be sticking in the majors, Joe.
Wow. You mentioned the addition of Chris Sale, which sounds like it's looming. I wonder if they'll wait until the All-Star break. That'll be an interesting one. The way that the pitching staff's working right now, and we'll get into tonight's game with Garrett Richards and how to forecast or project that game. That should be interesting when it comes to the total or even the side. But another guy to look at is Duran, right? He didn't go to the Olympics and is probably more available now if they want to make a move to impact that outfield or even the leadoff role. But, yeah, dude, it's actually funny. Wherever you found that plus number on the for them to win the East. So the lines have moved. AL East right now at DraftKings this morning. It's all updated. -165 to win the East.
Oh, wow. That's a movement.
That's like overnight movement. And then they have World Series winner +1,000.
10-1. I mean, that does feel like a little bit of a local bias line. I mean, yeah. I bet you if you shop around, I mean, it was 16-1. Literally 2 days ago. I find it very unlikely that has changed much in the market. That feels very much like a local bias to me. Joe, yeah, they're still 16-1 out in the West Gate. So you'll probably be able to find a 16-1 number around the area still. Definitely don't take the 10-1. that is just maybe the worst possible value you can have there, honestly.
Yeah. And again, the Astros are the favorites to win the American League. White Sox is still +300. Sox come in at +450. The Yankees still hovering at +700 with the Rays. And then Oakland, who, you know, they've been okay. +1,000 despite their loss last night. They battled back against the Red Sox here. But I wanted to start with that because, you know, just looking at this team, we're at July 3rd now. Here we are today. We're halfway through the baseball season. And I was going to bring up some midway at least things to look at it coming up later in the show here. But when it comes to the Red Sox, I wonder if all the value's gone. Like, again, I took the over the win total. I think that's going to smash.
Yeah, easily.
And I think that's easy. But everything else, I mean, here's the deal, and this isn't a hot take or anything like that. The way that the league is this year, I think the Red Sox have a legitimate chance of winning the obviously winning the East and potentially winning the pennant. But to your point, they can't just sit on their hands. Like, all right, I know people don't like crossing sports, Dan, but we've seen other local teams that made it to the final not make that move. And you're the Boston Red Sox. You're a big market team. You have the capital to do it. If you have a chance to win, like you have to, if you have an opportunity to win a championship, you got to go for it. And that's just the way I look at it. You don't have to give up a Duran or a Cassius or someone like that, but be aggressive and improve the team. And that brings up my next point. We actually talked about this earlier in the year, but when you look at pitching staffs, like clearly the Dodgers are very good, and we'll see what happens with Bauer at some point, right? But Darvish and Snell, and like you look at what's happening with the Padres, you know, we obviously the Yankees are where they are, and they were projected to have a pretty good team. We think Max Scherzer is going to be available, but I don't think the Red Sox will be in the race for that. But, you know, if it is Sale and it's Nathan Eovaldi with his 9 wins, you know, do you look at a third starter in Eddie Rodriguez after last night? And, you know, Martin Perez has pitched better, and then you got Pivetta. So do they need another starter? And I guess what would be more important, the starter or the bat, like a Bobby Dalbec, you know, platoon? I just think right now they're worth consideration of winning the pennant and going to the World Series.
I agree, but not at Again, I think you're chasing a number that the value continues to be shot. And right now, the Sox are in the middle of an 8-game winning streak. Tampa Bay is in the middle of a 4-game losing streak. This is going to be the worst possible time to take that number because they're hot right now, and their division lead was 4.5 games. Never been higher, you know, during the season. This is just the wrong time to take that number because, you know, the Sox, I mean, we still have the whole month of July, August, September. We still got 3-ish months to go, you know, with this. And I just think taking them right now when they're hot, at maybe as hot as they've been all year, is probably the wrong vantage, the wrong time place to take, you know, to take them for a value. But in regards to a starter, Joe, I don't think you can treat Chris Sale as a bona fide starter going forward. And if you are dead serious, if you're the Red Sox and you're dead serious about competing this year, I think you have to be in play for Max Scherzer. You look at the rotation, listen, Nathan Eovaldi can be a weapon out of the pen. Yeah. I think he could probably be, honestly, the way he's pitching this year, he could probably be a legitimately decent second starter. The problem is after that, Nick Pivetta is, you know, as much as, you know, I do like him as a pitcher, he's still very inconsistent at times. He gets very hot and cold as well.
I wonder if he could be the Joe Kelly type of old, maybe out of a bullpen long term, you know?
Honestly, if you're the Red Sox, don't you think it's time to potentially try Garrett Richards out of the bullpen if he struggles again today, I do think that is maybe an angle you have to take with Richards. I think that the Red Sox need a, you know, rotation upgrade purely because of the fact that Richards and Martin Perez have been horrible this year, and I'm not sure they're going to get any better. Especially with the cheating stuff over for pitchers and no more spider tech. Garrett Richards, I will just say this. I'll give him credit here. He stayed resilient last start after just getting slaughtered early on. So, I mean, maybe there's some hope for him. I just think if you're the Red Sox, that train has left the station. I know that Chaim Bloom spent, $11 million on the guy, but at some point, you know, you probably need to call how it is and try and move on, try and get an upgrade in here. Whether that's a Danny Duffy type who, you know, his name has been kind of floated around. I still think you need honestly, if you want to be a legit World Series contender, you need a bona fide front of the rotation starter because look at who you would face in sort of any situation here between Houston or, you know, the Dodgers. I mean, those teams in the playoffs are going to be ready and loaded because they have the pitching, they have the consistency there. And I mean, really, outside of maybe Eovaldi, I don't think you can say that there's been a single pitcher on this rotation, starting a rotation, that has been consistent. Eduardo Rodriguez, definitely not. Pivetta, we just kind of talked about, and Garrett Richards and Martin Perez have been borderline, you know, releasable at points during the season. So I just I think they badly need at least one arm, if not two, and I don't think the lineup needs anything. You're rolling right now, you're hot, you know, you're gonna have Duran calling up from the minors. I know people want to add, but I think if you're gonna add, it's got to be bullpen starting pitching rotation related, and that's where you really need to focus if you're the Red Sox. Let the bats be. You can call up Duran for, you know, a late season call up if you need another bat. That's the way I'm breaking, you know, at least I'm looking at it. I think they win the division, but again, especially at minus 165 now, that is a rough price.
Yeah, halfway through the baseball season, almost at July 4th, Red Sox are in first place. And their betting odds are basically non-bettable at this point. Who would have thought that at this point for the Sox? I figured we'd start there. They got a great win last night. They've won 8 in a row. And later on in the show, we're going to look at Garrett Richards and how to bet Garrett Richards in a start. Like at this point, I don't know. We'll die. We got to basically digest that one for a little bit, Dan. Coming up on the other side, we're going to talk about the Stanley Cup final, or whatever the Stanley Cup final was. I think, Dan, we were trying to find a way to capitalize on this series. So we'll discuss what is happening for Tampa Bay and Montreal. It was a very heated debate last week. which is not very heated as of today. So we'll take a quick break.
Nope.
We'll take a quick break. The phone number is 617-779-0985. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. What's great about doing the Saturday morning show, and again, DraftKings, there's many different books you can use. The one thing I do like about DraftKings, though, is whenever we need like a line or don't know a line yet, DraftKings updates things very quickly, and then the other books react to it. So, Dan, when you mentioned earlier maybe that minus 165, that might be a quick local bias. Like, oh, everyone's jumping on the Red Sox today. Because maybe at some other books they haven't updated the 110 I think you saw earlier. So if that 110's out there, there's value at 110 instead of 165 for sure.
I mean, points bet was 110 on July 1st. So, I mean, that was the number I was going by. And obviously it's July morning of July 3rd. You know, so obviously 65, that's what happens when you go 2-0 and the Rays go 0-2 and all of a sudden your division lead's gone from 2.5 to 4.5, you know, real quick. So I mean, that's obviously the reason for the move. The fact that it's minus 165 still is, I think that's overpriced because I think right now they're the hottest team, maybe in all of baseball, 8 in a row, rolling. I mean, the pitching is rolling, but the lineup is, I mean, insane. I'd say, you know, the Brewers have won 10 straight and the Dodgers won 7 straight or, you know, right there. They're all probably neck and neck. But I'm just saying this team has been fantastic for the past 10 games. This is just the worst possible time to wager a future bet, whether it's division, whether it's World Series. It really doesn't matter. This is the worst possible time to make an investment in a future like that because you're getting probably the team and maybe the worst odds they'll be all year. You know, especially for the World Series, if they keep, you know, obviously the hot streak will end. So I just think that it's maybe the worst time for a potential Red Sox investment. Wait for them to cool off a little bit. They will. Like, they're not going to roll like this forever.
Yeah, I just think that their lineup is a little there's holes in it. They get production every night from somebody different. Bogart struggled last night, but Devers, you know, carried the low. Kiki Hernandez late hit there. So it's just their lineup's a little too inconsistent. But I think that the way the league is going, they're a World Series contender. And if they make a move, they're certainly in it. We have a call here that wants to talk about a little Red Sox action. We got John on the line. What's going on, John? You're on the Sports Hub.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, buddy?
What up, dude?
Hey, so no, I just had a take on the Sox. Yesterday, I don't know if you guys are listening, but Jones was saying that he would trade, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tristan Casas. He's probably one of the best prospects in baseball. And I just thought he was absolutely insane for making that take. I mean, you just got Dombrowski. You lost basically half your farm system. Yes, you got Kimbrel out of it. Yes, you got Chris Sale out of it. But now you see what the White Sox are doing, how they got Mankata out of that, and he's a bona fide stud. So now, in my opinion, I don't think you should move anyone. I mean, maybe Chavis, maybe Bobby Dalbec, but you don't move a guy like Duran. You don't move a guy like Casas, especially when they're the future of your team. Mm. If you want to move someone small, go for it. But I'm not going for Schwarzer. I'm not going for a pitcher that's 35 years old. He's got 1 year left in his deal. It's just not a smart move for the Red Sox right now. They weren't supposed to be in this position, and they are. But I think that's a little too much. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it's a little too much.
Yeah, and I think Jones's point was, dude, go for it, right? Go for it. Again, how many teams in this town Like the Bruins made a big move this year, and I'm not crossing sports again. Sorry, they made a big move. Didn't work out, but it was the right move, you know. One thing that Bloom said this week, Dan, was that he wanted to win on the long term, and I think the Celtics have done that. Like the long term, like they've been successful, but now we're like, all right, dude, you're long term, like let's win it. But I just think if the way the Red Sox have been the whole run, like I don't know, since 2010. 2013, they've been first place, last place, first place, last place. If you have a chance to go for it, you go for it. The Cassius discussion is interesting, though. He's playing first base right now. You know, the Dahlbeck's there. He's 6'4", 230. Like, this kid can play. He's going to play on the Olympic team. I mean, he's one of their prized possessions. And the way that Bloom has handled things, I don't think he moves that guy.
I don't think he does either. And I certainly wouldn't move him either. I mean, again, I want them to get a guy like Max Scherzer. I think if you want to be a legitimate World Series contender, that you need to make a move for a guy like that. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to make the move. I'm just saying if you want to be considered, I think, a legitimate, contender, that's probably what you need to do. And, you know, in regards to Mankata, like, I don't think that he's become a stud in you know, Chicago. He's good, but you know, under 800 OPS, you know, doesn't hit for nearly the power you thought. Good player, definitely not, you know, a stud. He had that one great year in 2019, but he's not a stud, but
he's still going to develop, I think, over time because the way that, you know, with the everything that happened last year. But I agree with you. The word stud, he's not there. I mean, he's going to be good. He's good.
I mean, and again, you gave him up and then you won the World Series. Like, I don't think that you can feel too terribly about that, the way that Kopech has looked in that trade. Like, I look at that trade and say, well, you know, the sale contract, you know, sucks. The extension sucks, you know, and has obviously because he's been hurt so far. And hopefully that can turn around. I mean, you never really know with these guys. So hopefully that turns around. But just in terms of the trade, I make that trade, you know, 10 times out of 10, I think the Red Sox actually did pretty well, you know, looking back on that deal. Kopech really hasn't amounted to too much because he's been hurt so much. And Mankata is a good everyday player, but I'm giving that up for what I gave, you know, for Chris Sale. And, you know, I still think that they actually ended up doing pretty well in that. Now, they traded too many prospects when Dombrowski was here. And I think that Chaim Bloom is very dedicated to rebuilding this farm system and rebuilding, you know, kind of what they had a few years ago and trying to turn them into, Tampa expensive maybe and maybe, you know, spend a little bit extra money that Tampa may not, you know, been able to spend and develop that, you know, that system quicker. I don't see him giving up guys like Casas or Jaron Duran. I don't think that's going to happen, especially not for a guy like Scherzer. I'm just saying if you have the ability to get Scherzer and it doesn't cost you a, you know, incredibly highly rated prospect and, you know, whatever, maybe you come into some sort of situation where he wants to go to Boston and Washington makes it, you know, works with them and makes it work, then yeah, I don't see it likely. I'm just saying like that would be the kind of guy I think you would need to be considered a legit contender. I just don't see it personally happening for a guy like that. I think that's going to be priced well in the Red Sox, range.
So I looked ahead. Odd Shark actually has a prop bet on where players may get traded to and end up the next season. So I'm just looking at Max Scherzer. This is from less than maybe like 2 weeks back. Yep. Max Scherzer, Nationals favorite to stay, but the Yankees plus 400, Red Sox plus 750. I don't know. If the Yankees are out of it, I don't think they make a move for that. Do you think?
I mean, the way things are trending there right now, I'm not making a move for him if I'm the Yankees. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're 9.5 games out of, you know, division, and I don't think the wild card's going to get any easier. You're not even past Toronto right now. You have a negative run differential. Things are not going well with Aaron Boone and you know, that whole, you know, the manager issue, yeah. And just Cashman. Honestly, the things that Cashman says really make the team look continue to make them look worse and worse. I don't think there's a prayer that the Yankees go for it unless they really pick it up. Like They need bats. They don't need pitchers. If I'm the Yankees, I'm not trying to get Max Scherzer. I'm going for a bat because that's been my problem. 329 runs scored. Just to give you a reference, the Red Sox have scored 428, so essentially 100 more runs. That's the problem. You know, that is where the issue lies. It's in the Yankees' bats. Just haven't swung them well.
All right, we'll get into the Garrett Richards start tonight. And there's a few other Red Sox stuff we'll get into. Look at us starting baseball in the Red. That's the story right now in town.
Yep.
Is the Red Sox in first place, but no betting value. I guess we'll continue to say that off the bat. Speaking of just, no value. I don't know. I thought so. I still think Montreal was a good story. I think it was a good story. Wasn't rooting for him. None of that. I wasn't on that side of the fence.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I took Tampa Bay a little too lightly. I don't know. This thing's gotten out of hand, man. 6-3 last night. Shutout wins early on. This has been pure dominance by the Tampa Bay Lightning. I did not see it shaping up this way, but in the end, Dan, I think Montreal's getting what it deserves here in the final.
I mean, definitely they're getting spanked right now, and it's and the games are honestly have not been competitive. The first game was 5-1. Tampa's flying the whole time. Look, it's really hard for me to be happy with either one of these teams winning. I mean, I think that obviously after last week's rant, you guys all know that I don't exactly like the Montreal Canadiens, so they're not exactly the team I'm rooting for here. I wanted, honestly, both teams to lose in whatever ways they can possible, but this is not – it's not close. It's not competitive. If it ends in 4, Joe – yikes. I hope that Montreal has some sort of fight in them to kind of extend it to at least 5. Like, you don't want to be the team that just got absolutely smoked, you know, in the Stanley Cup final, but we'll see what happens. There's no way to bet this right now unless you want to take the -150 with Tampa on Monday. I honestly can't even blame you. I can't go against it because, well, Carey Price has been really, really good story, and he's been playing very well. Tampa is too good offensively. They're too good. They're too deep. They're too good. I really thought the Islanders might be able to beat them and close them out. They couldn't do it. I mean, they fought with them 7-game series, a tough series, but Montreal, not even close to the same caliber team that I think the Islanders were this season. And I think that's very clearly showing how good this Tampa team is right now. They're rolling, and you know, this series is over. Just depends on how many games.
So we shouldn't look at Montreal +2,500 to win the cup.
No, this is
just give you the money instead.
fun story, but don't burn your money. They're not coming back from 3-0. This series unfortunately is over. Which
do you think Jim Murray would put a dollar to win a dollar would win you what?
$250.
Dollar would win you $250. That's how bad the odds are for Montreal.
I think Big Jim would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I mean, him and McCarthy have been on that train. So I think you should make them own it. So absolutely. Big Jim should put a dollar on this team.
Put a dollar on it. Yep. They're coming back. 3-0 lead. Got them right where they want. You mentioned, -150. I see -165 right now. Over under 5.5. Our buddy Sam Penjanovic, from Chicken Dinner in Nesson, second period over is 3-for-3 so far in the series. So something to take a look at when it comes to when it comes to this series. But yeah, there's no more value here. I'm kind of interested. Do you even look? Is there any value in Montreal in Game 4?
Again, I'm not doing it.
What have they shown? I mean, what has Montreal done well in this year? Like, I respect Carey Price, but oh my God, what can Montreal do at all that's a threat to Tampa Bay?
And I mean, unfortunately, now down 3-0, they're going to have to play a completely different style.
They're going to play that Montreal cheap diving style.
I don't know. I didn't say that. I'm just saying they're going to have to play a different style. They're going to have to try some new things because whatever they're doing right now is not working. Their style of, you know, play strong defense and chuck it up the ice and try and get some fast breaks. Tampa's speed is too great for them. And while Montreal has had their scoring chances, I mean, Vasilevsky was the Vezina runner up, you know, for a reason this year. Carey Price, I think right now they're probably the best two goaltenders on the planet the way that they're playing, but Tampa is too much firepower for this team, and Montreal defensively just isn't. They're just not good enough. And looking back, it's crazy that Montreal beat that Vegas team the way that they were playing, because Tampa Bay is steamrolling them, and nothing that Montreal is doing has been even the least bit effective. Nothing.
If anybody gets a chance, I watched it for like a little bit. I was just, it was Friday night. I'm like, oh, hey, look, the game's on. But there was a time when they're up 1-0, and they're on the power play, Tampa Bay, and they were just toying with Montreal. And then Victor Hedman, a slap shot from the top left, boom, 2-0. But like, if you watch the power play, they could just do whatever they wanted. Like, it was just, oh, pass it here, pass it to the guy around the net, oh, let's get it back over to the defense, oh, we'll kick it inside, slap shot, boom, 2-0. And I was just like, all right, this thing's over. I saw that one play, and I'm like, yep, Montreal, doom. They have nothing at this point. So,
we were at a dinner last night, Joe. They scored, they go 2-0. Okay, Montreal gets one back, it's 2-1. I was like, okay, well, there, you know, there's some life here. You know, we leave the restaurant, we get to another establishment, look up at the score, and it's 4-1, and it's like, you know, that's the way that this series has been so far, and it has not been competitive. It has not been, I mean, maybe entertaining if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, but just as a pure hockey purist, it's not been entertaining. This hasn't been fair, and man, it's getting ugly out there. 6-3 is not exactly a pretty scoreline.
Not at all. I do want to look ahead a little bit here. Have you been dabbling on the Euros at all?
Yeah, I've been dabbling on the Euros. Obviously, I've been up parts unknown, whatever, Cape in the past couple of days. So I didn't play yesterday, but I've been giving out some Euro plays. Yeah, and I'm not surprised about how many people don't realize that soccer is, if you bet square, you are going to get absolutely smoked in football.
Thank
soccer.
You. Thank you.
Smoked.
Yes. Yeah. Remember that England-Scotland game?
Yep.
I haven't touched it since, but you know which one I have circled now, though?
Let me guess. You have England circled today.
No, I have Italy-Spain. I mean, yeah, today. So, actually, there's no games. They actually did a pretty good job of not having games. See, I wish they had the games on the 4th and 5th. They're respecting, obviously, the holiday. But, yeah, England-Ukraine today, right? You would think, well, let's talk about it. We'll talk about that coming up next. But that Spain-Italy game, dude, that's going to be more. I am curious what the handle will be on that thing.
Massive. It's gonna be massive.
Just think of the I mean, yeah, let's talk about that coming up next. And of course, there's a couple other games today, and love to hear from you guys at 617-779-0985. We will give out some picks. The NBA, I got one on that tonight, Dan. And looking ahead next week, there's some events that are happening that we know about, but like, they're gonna be right in front of you. They're gonna smack you in the face. McGregor next week. And then the Wilder Fury Part 3. It's like there's just a couple of – and then again, the Euro finals and all that stuff's going to be here before you know it. It's
don't forget the hot dog eating contest as well. I mean, that's big. It's tradition, bro.
Tradition like no other.
Okay.
How do I use a hot dog joke in there? I don't know.
Well, I'm staying out of that one.
All right, yeah, let's take a break, Tracy. Yeah, let's do it. All right.
I was going to say, we can talk about it during the break.
It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Details.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show, I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz, parts unknown. I just like to kind of say that because it's just it sounds cool. But Dan is going to the Cape, or is in the Cape. I am going to the Cape. So there'll be a Bankroll Boys Cape and Islands takeover. That'd be nice if some little spot hosted us, Dan, you know? To watch the games.
I mean, I hear that we might be around Sunday if any spot wants to volunteer.
I mean, hey, come here and I like my lobster rolls hot with butter. Okay. I love some of the my favorite ice cream shop is in the Harwich Dennis area.
Oh,
it's a school of ice cream. I'll tell you that much. But that'd be cool if one day, hey, a little what would we call it? It's like a bank. Like what would we call like the Bankroll Boy Cape Cod trip? I don't know. I guess our listeners can always come up with some interesting stuff. I get myself in trouble, Dan. Do you know that?
Yes.
Like if we were doing the podcast, I'd just throw out some stuff. But like the hot dog eating contest, that's we'll get to that in the next hour here. By the way, all right. So Dan, someone just sent us a tweet. Hey, any Wimbledon picks? I used to bet tennis all the time. It was one of the best sports to bet on. But I'm looking at the odds today. Like Djokovic, who's probably the favorite, I bet, to win the Wimbledon. Yep, he is. Plus 20,000 to beat some guy named Christian Garin today. Plus 20, I mean, minus 20,000? 20,000.
Yeah, tennis betting is about the spreads and the over-unders, for sets and everything. But unfortunately, it's not a sport that I follow closely enough to do that. The main thing that I do in tennis and when I play, which is, to be honest with you, not very often, but I like to take futures in both the men's and women's tournaments prior to the start of the tournament. I mean, that's where some of the best value lies in the, in the game. And so, betting those guys pre-tournament or those gals, pre-tournament, usually is where the value lies. I know very little about the sport to bet it. And, I'm not a good tennis bettor. Never have been and not going to be now. So unfortunately, I don't want to give out anything. You can feel free.
I'm not done, but dude, I just want to say this. Tennis in the '90s, man, had Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Yvonne Lendl, Jim Courier, Stefan Edberg, Michael Chang, Boris Becker. Like Goran Ivanišević, like Michael Stich. Yeah, they had all these names, dude. Now I'm like, hey, it's Federer and Djokovic. Oh, it's not Djokovic.
You have Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. And Federer is really on his last legs right now. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Like, who are these guys?
What do you mean?
I don't know who these guys are.
Oh, you're talking about the people other than that. I was like, they're maybe the three of the greatest tennis players ever.
No, I know who those guys are. I'm trying to say. Okay. Daniil Medvedev.
Medvedev is pretty well known. Okay, yeah.
Berrettini.
Yep. Obviously, Kyrgios. I mean, Cilic. These are guys look, this is just not a sport that unfortunately I am good enough to provide any betting advice for tennis, unfortunately.
Tennis is slowly dying. It's like horse racing. All right, quick Euro take today. Czech Republic, Denmark, and then Ukraine, England. England should win. I'll look at the number here. Denmark, Czech. Ooh, got nothing on that one early on. But England should win in advance. That's what I think. I want to give you the odds on that. I bet you it's
for the Yeah, well, I mean, I give the money line there is minus 270 for England to win. England to advance is minus 550.
Oh,
so, I mean, I mean, that number, that number is, yeah, this is what I try telling people. You got to stop betting the square sides, especially because the straight betting lines here are for the 90 minutes and stoppage time only. Extra time doesn't count on total, you know, doesn't count for totals or your money line bets. So if you bet the draw and it goes to extra time, that's a winner. Outside of that, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, taking a look at both of these, I think the Denmark-Czech game has a very good chance to be a draw. Czech has been extremely strong, you know, in the way they play. And honestly, Denmark has been not a surprise. I think that's probably unfair to say. But I mean, the way that they played last match, I mean, they dominated. They absolutely dominated Wales. And I mean, it got a little bit ugly at the end. I think it was 4-0 scoreline, but the way that they've won their last two matches, you know, just crushing Russia in a qualifying game they needed to win, and they dominated Wales in that second half especially. It's been impressive. And then what the Czech did against the Netherlands, now we kind of talked about a pre-tournament show where I didn't think the Netherlands were very good this year, and I thought that they were going to, you know, drop out, you know, pretty quickly. I was surprised they even qualified, to be honest with you, but they dominated their group play, and they faced this Czech team, and Czech was very stout defensively, played very well. You know, it's a team that lost 1-0 to England, you know, a couple of matches ago. I think this is going to be a very, very strong defensive battle. I know that these are, you know, especially with the way that Denmark's been playing, you want to bet the over. I look at the under and the draw in the first match. I know that that's probably not the way that people love betting this. And honestly, I think the England-Ukraine game, Ukraine is going to have to push because this is, you know, an elimination game. I think Ukraine is going to have to push. I think we're probably going to be looking at a 3-1, 4-1 type scoreline there. I would lean the over. I'm definitely not touching England in any sort of way. I'm not touching the minus one or so. I would lean the over in the second game. I very much like, you know, in fact, give me, Tracy, if you wouldn't mind, ring the bell for me. Denmark, Czech, draw plus 225. I'll take that.
Ringing it.
There you go.
We're ringing it. Dan, we got 5 minutes. The Azzurri, Italy, the hottest team, taking on Spain. This has to be, again, one of the most bet events. It's going to be on the 6th. So the 6th is going to have that in the match. Two big betting events, just based off one being a real sport and the other being an entertainment sport. This, I don't know, what can we compare this handle to? Not the Super Bowl, but I mean, this is a huge handle. Will there be a bigger handle in Spain, Italy, or the NBA Finals?
I mean, it depends on what type of handle you're talking about. If you're talking about a worldwide handle, it won't be close. Spain, Italy will probably rival, Super Bowl handle.
Okay, that big though. Woo.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Absolutely, worldwide, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, across the pond where, you know, everything is legal. I mean, this is, you know, one of the biggest betting events. You'll see England draw a gargantuan handle today as well. So, I mean, those are massive, massive handle matches, you know, for, listen, this is going to be a game that is, Italy has had success in, you know, in competitions, these larger competitions, but hasn't really had it in the past couple of years. It's been a couple of tournaments. Spain is a team that's always had success, but it's never really been able to put it fully together.
Well, just so far now, right? I mean, if you look at it, they never really do. I don't know. They're always kind of like the high, you know, one of the highest picked, and then they escape. Do you know what I'm saying? They always advance, but it's never easy, you know, penalty kicks, things like that.
I mean, they just escaped Switzerland yesterday. I honestly thought the Swiss were the better part of that team, especially in the second half. And, you know, they got, in my opinion, what was a garbage red card called to them in the 75th, 77th, something like that minute. And, you know, that probably ended the game for the Swiss. And you know, people forget that watching that game. Spain missed their first penalty kick and the Swiss scored. I mean, they were up early on that. And then three straight penalty misses, Shara Kanji and Vargas. I mean, brutal way to lose that game. I thought they were the better team, even playing a man down against that Spain team. And then Italy passing on, you know, passing Belgium. I'm very surprised that Belgium couldn't forcefully get another one and really force that to extra time. I'm surprised
by
that.
That's an upset, but man. That's an upset.
I think Italy right now is playing the best in the tournament, and you know, but it is somewhat surprising to watch them play the way they are, because they really have struggled the past couple of years and in especially larger competitions.
Yeah, I have a pick on this one. It's going to make it real easy for everybody. The two highest scoring teams in all the Euros this year, give me both teams to score plus 100. Ring the bell. How about that, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe a better way of playing the over two or the over two. You know, I think the line right now is two minus 140. 2.25 is plus 110 ish in that one range right there. So you're playing almost at a 1-1 draw. I honestly would, maybe the only other way I consider playing that, Joe, is to play a 1-1 draw. If you do, you know, if you don't like the over, but you think both teams score, the exact scoreline of 1-1 might be another way to play that game. If you like the BTTS, that would be one way to potentially approach it.
All right, there's your Euro update. We're 1 hour down. We'll get into the NBA in Game 6 tonight and the future odds of the NBA, which I still don't know yet, but we'll talk about it. And the Garrett Richards start tonight. We'll digest that one later on here. 1 hour down, another hour to go here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show, 98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.